Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's the post-Thanksgiving episode of Spencer Speaks on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. And today, if you are a K-State and a Missouri fan, there wasn't much to be thankful for. Two losses on Friday on the road for the Cats and the Tigers. But both teams are going bowling, so there's that. What will the post-Skylar Thompson era look like for K-State at quarterback? Does Missouri, with their stud quarterback returning next year, at least scare the SEC East? And what will KU winning two of their last three, potentially, to end their season mean for their program? Answer to these questions are dissected in this episode. The Chiefs are enjoying their bye week, and we'll get to sit back and watch their competition in the AFC play each other. There's a few big ones. The Titans play the Patriots, the Chargers play the Broncos, and the Browns play the Ravens. These all have potential to be separation games in the AFC. Riley Gates of 24/7 Sports joins to talk football. It's all brought to you by Joslin's Jewelry, a family-owned and operated business for generations and a proud sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Visit Joslin's at 95th and Antioch. Ask for Gary or Dave, or you can chat with a non-commissioned jewelry expert and know you're getting the best jewelry at the best prices. But they've got more. Joslin's does thousands of repairs each year for a fraction of what the corporate guys charge because it's the right thing to do for their valued customers. Joslin's Jewelry, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family, online at joslinsjewelry.com. And whether it's complete collision repair or just a couple of door dings you want pulled out with the paintless dent removal, Marion Body Shop will do it all with the best customer service in the industry. Marion Body Shop is a State Farm preferred collision center and can take it from start to finish for you. They offer auto detailing as well. You want to get your wife's car washed for Christmas? Get that thing shined up before all the family members show up. You don't want a dirty car sitting on your driveway. Just don't do it. People will be like, you're lazy. You haven't had time to do this. What have you been doing? Clean your car. 913-362-1198 for an appointment just off I-35 and Johnson Drive, or visit them online at MerriamBodyShop.com. And lastly, we're brought to you by Buck Roofing, a Kansas City premier residential and commercial roofer, and they offer free roof inspections to KKHI listeners. You don't want to climb up there. It's not worth it. Call Ron Buck at 913-384-2680. Schedule the inspection today and keep that number in your contacts in case of an emergency. Look, it's winter, guys. We're going to start getting snow. It's getting cold. Bad things happen to roofs in the wintertime. You see it all the time. So visit them online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
It's the post-Thanksgiving edition, the weekend edition of Spencer Keatsman Has Issues. That's right, I'm changing the name. From now on, it's this. I'm only kidding, but joining me, as always, is Riley Gates of 24/7 Sports, who is fresh out of a movie on a Friday evening. What'd you go see, Riley? I haven't been to a movie in so long. I'm kind of itching. I've been talking about getting back to one.
Yeah, this was only like the second one I think I've been to since COVID really ever happened. But yeah. We saw The House of Gucci, which was a pretty interesting movie. I'm not going to lie. Wasn't necessarily my choice, but I was. I'm not upset we went and saw it. It was interesting, and it was got me out of my wheelhouse of movies.
Yeah, so I've heard of this. Is this actually about Gucci, like the clothing line?
Yeah, like how the company came about, and the, you know, all the ownership behind it and everything like that. It's a long movie. I will warn, it's 2 hours and 38 minutes. So be prepared if you're going to go.
A little lengthy. So, you know, you and I wear Gucci pretty much every day. So, you know, between our t-shirts and our ball caps, you know, we slide a little Gucci shoes in there every now and then, I would imagine.
Just to class it up.
You know, from now on, after you've seen that movie, you know, go check in Riley's closet. I'm sure you're going to see $400 shoes and all that stuff. So, all that stuff that you and I can't afford to buy. So, anyways, how was your Thanksgiving? Everything good? I know you had family in town. I know you, like me, watched the K-State game today and was utterly disappointed with how that played out. Tough finish to the year for the Wildcats, but other than that, Thanksgiving, and other than the Cowboys losing, how was your Thanksgiving, Riley?
If you take football out, Thanksgiving was just great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a great weekend with some family. We didn't get to go last year because my parents actually had tested positive for COVID last year during Thanksgiving, so we didn't get to go last year. Good to catch up with everybody. Football-wise, terrible. Just the worst weekend ever, but hey, that's sports for you, man.
And on top of that, Missouri had a terrible second half today. Arkansas was the better team, and I thought they were going into this as well. But, you know, we can just start it off right there. Mizzou ends their season. You know, they beat Florida last week on a two-point conversion. Florida fires the coach. So, you know, had Missouri beaten Arkansas today, you never know. I'm only kidding, of course. But Missouri's bowl eligible, and the way that the season was going for them, it was not looking good, but their defense got a lot better throughout the stretch, and they were able to get them to six wins to bowl eligibility, and they had a chance for a 7-5 season today, but the Tigers ended up falling short. Arkansas beat them 34-17.
Yeah, you know, honestly didn't catch much of that game watching K-State and then kind of doing some other things, but you know, I think it said a lot about Missouri. Getting beat down by Georgia, obviously, like, we knew that was going to happen, but the season had not gone the way that Missouri wanted it to, obviously, up until that point. And then responding with wins over South Carolina and Florida late in the season, even though, you know, those teams are not what some people maybe thought they were going to be, or maybe they're not the best talent, but I think it says a lot to kind of come back and finish strong like that to get to a bowl. Admittedly, I'm not an expert in SEC bowl order pecking, as I am the Big 12, so I can't necessarily predict right now where they're going to be playing. Yeah. Probably somebody that follows Missouri a lot closer than me, but regardless, it'll be good for, you know, Eli Drinkwitz's club to get, obviously, those, what, I think it's 15 extra practices or something like that. Always, yeah, huge.
Exactly, and hopefully they don't fire any more coaches while they have those practices, but obviously for Kansas State today, very tough day. We won't spend too much time rehashing this before we move on to some NFL stuff, but you know, Will Howard is it safe to say that he's sort of limited as to what he can do? I mean, I'm just looking past the Skylar Thompson horizon for the Kansas State Wildcats and what they have on tap at quarterback. I don't know anybody who's overly excited about the future with Will Howard. Maybe things change. Maybe, you know, they get better. But I think Kansas State did a decent job in sort of maybe preparing themselves for figuring out a way to go win this game, because you just know without your quarterback, without your main guy, it's going to be tough going on the road. Last game of the season, Texas' senior day, it was Texas' last game of the year. They were not going to a bowl game, and that's probably one of the more disappointing parts for K-State, dropping a game to a team that has had a terrible season in their last year of the Big 12. I mean, what do you make of what happened in Austin today?
100% on coach. Just real quickly, I guess, since you brought up Will Howard, I think K-State has a lot of problems there. I'm very torn in the middle. I used to be very pro, fight a lot of battles for Will Howard because I thought he got a raw deal, you know, having to play as a true freshman last year, not even expecting to play, and then suddenly he's the starter. And then even early in this season, I thought he was kind of thrust into it a little bit too quickly. But, yeah, there's massive alarm bells going off right now just because he hasn't developed hardly at all. Clearly the coaches do not trust him
right, to
throw the ball because they don't allow him to really take many shots down the field or anything like that, or even the occasional 12-yard pass, it feels like. But this loss to Texas was 100% on coaching. Courtney Messingham, I'm not the person – I don't like the lazy take of blame the coordinator, fire the coordinator all the time, but that loss was very bad, and Courtney Messingham is a big reason why. Those were some just terrible play calls coming down the stretch, especially two key fourth downs. I hated both of those calls that he made, and K-State should have won. Credit to Texas for making the plays and getting the stops they got, but K-State should have won this football game. K-State should be 8-4, and K-State should be heading to Orlando for a bowl game. Rather, I think they might be now looking at Phoenix.
I'm
maybe
okay with that.
you might like that. Phoenix, maybe the Texas Bowl. It all kind of depends on what happens in Bedlam tomorrow, but or, you know, on Saturday. But it's it's not good for K-State to end the year like that, because they had a real chance to do eight wins in a season is pretty special.
Yeah, and you look at, I think that anytime you run the ball for 228 yards on the road, you should probably win that football game. That's hard to do. Obviously, Kansas State, Deuce Vaughn was great again. I mean, just doing his thing, 24 carries, 143 yards. No complaints there. 6 yards a carry, and you know, Will Howard had, he had 82 rushing yards, but that was all in one play. So I mean, it's not like it's not like there's anything impressive there with what he was able to do with his feet, other than the one play, which was a very nice play. Don't get me wrong, he made one really good play today, but the rest of that, it was just offensively just a very lackluster performance. There's going to be coaching changes, I feel like, locally and with all the three teams. Not necessarily the head coach. I think all the head coaching jobs are safe. But does Kansas State make a move with Courtney Messingham? Do they make a move at offensive coordinator?
I don't see any way you can't.
Right.
They were pretty bad. Granted, they didn't have Skylar Law last year, but there's been good, dating back to last year, even, and then obviously the end of the first season, there's been a lot of questions about Courtney Messingham's ability, and he's called some good games this year. Contrary to what people will tell you, that he did have a few good games this season, but his failures are just too big, I think, as an offensive coordinator to really feel good about bringing him back. So I think they have to. I think they will. I think it was really weird. I saw a K-State Twitter on Friday all unite with the same take, and that's something you never see. Like, K-State Twitter is always very split with two ways. Everybody agreed with it on this one. Now, I think they will make the change, but I guess if they don't, then this is no longer on Courtney Messingham. It's then on Chris Klieman and Gene Taylor, because there are clear issues to fix on this team right now. I don't believe Chris Klieman is the reason why those issues are there. I believe it's because of the offensive play calling. And if you endorse it, if you bring him back for another season, obviously that falls on your shoulders at that point.
Yeah, and I feel like, to me, it's the, you mentioned K-State Twitter. To me, it's the biggest, like, K-State fans I know that are the quickest to really, really overreact about coaching changes. And I think that's, you know, obviously there's a lot of passion involved there, but I've been hearing a lot of Chris Klieman hate all year. Look, if Skylar Thompson stays healthy the entire season, and then, you know, you go 7-5, which is, I think 7-5 as a Kansas State, you know, fan, and what you've seen for the last, you know, 2.5 decades with this program, that's a disappointing season. I mean, there's no, you never go into it with the mindset that, oh, it'd be a great season if K-State could win 7 games. Nobody says that. Like, that's just not a thing.
Right. And to me, it's not even so much the set. It's how you got there.
Right.
Obviously the Texas loss was very bad. Iowa State, the thing with me with Iowa State is I think Iowa State's a better team than K-State is, but K-State didn't even put up a fight on their home field, you know, and that was bad to me. They weren't competitive at Oklahoma State despite it ending in an 11-point game. They weren't competitive. So look, if you asked me to explain the season, I'd say they lost 4 games to 4 teams that were better than them. And then they lost the 5th game because of coaching mistakes. But yeah, it's time for this program to start going over that hill, turning that corner, whatever analogy you want to use. You know, you got to start being more competitive with Oklahoma State and Iowa State. You got to be at Baylor's level, and they're just not there. And so I think Chris Klieman has to make some changes on his staff, or otherwise it's going to start coming back on him, and he's going to have some questions to answer.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Kansas State staff, as obviously there's a bowl game to look forward to, so there's probably not going to be a whole lot happening before then, but you never know. A lot of times you sort of tell your coordinators that you're going to fire, hey, you know, you've got 3 weeks to prepare yourself, but this bowl game's your last game on this staff.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. The Jayhawks are wrapping up their season against West Virginia, and I really like what Coach Lance said last week after they came short to TCU. They played tough. I mean, they played TCU really tough, but TCU ends up winning a really close one in the end. And he's basically like, look, after that Texas game, we know we can compete. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Basically what he's saying is there's no moral victories. I feel like in the past, Kansas has sort of taken moral victories, and that doesn't really seem to be the case with this coaching staff and this team. Look, if the Jayhawks can knock off West Virginia, which I, for one, would not be surprised if they did. I know they're 15.5-point underdogs, but, I mean, Kansas has been double-digit underdogs in literally every game they've played this year. So that's nothing new there. But, you know, they've beaten West Virginia at home before. So this is something, I think, did they do it last year or was it the year before? Might have been. You had to have been the year before.
It wasn't.
Right?
If it was. Whenever that was, it was a couple years ago at least. Okay. It wasn't last season.
So they've beaten West Virginia at home. Like, neither one of these teams are really playing for anything. I guess if West Virginia wins, they're bowl eligible. So there's that. But I don't know. I could see Kansas winning this football game. Like, this is the first time in a while I've gone into it. Be like, yeah, you know, I can actually. I wouldn't be surprised if KU won. Let's just say that.
Well, I think if you're Kansas, you got to feel really good about where you're at. I mean, now put it this way: Texas is obviously not very good this season, and TCU is in a complete tailspin. So it's tough to really measure much against those opponents. But obviously, a win and then playing competitive down to the final, you know, literally the last seconds when TCU won the game. Obviously, that kind of shows that KU has some momentum. In the smallest of ways, you know, momentum for KU is not the same as momentum for a lot of programs, but yeah, I mean, I think this, in this game to me is not even about winning it. If you can win it, sure, that'd be great. It'd be really good for your program to kind of go into the offseason on a win, but even if you're just competitive, I think that does a lot for you. I think Lance Leipold's shown so much in his last three games that he might be able to turn this thing around, and if he gets enough time and he gets enough players into the program. So, and just for the program's energy in general, if you can go into the offseason with a 2-1 in your final three, or 1-2 with being competitive, I think it's great for KU. So it'll be a very interesting game for sure.
Yeah, and moving to the NFL, can we? I'm sure this petition's already been started, but I would sign it to get the Lions off Thanksgiving Day football. you know what's funny is, like, we've talked about this, like, every year it comes up. Why do the Lions get to play on Thanksgiving? Why? And you talk to people who aren't really, like, that football, like, savvy. Like, they wouldn't know as much as you and I do about football. They're like, so what's so special about the Lions? Why do they get it every year? And it's like, the only answer you have is it's tradition, you know? Like,
that's the way we've always done it.
That's the way we've always done it. But, I mean, the only people who would care literally are Lions fans. And no offense to Lions fans. There's a lot of people in Michigan, and there's a lot of loyal Lions fans. But I don't really know any of them, so I don't care. I would be okay if every now and then, you know, or actually permanently, just get the Lions off Thanksgiving, because there's going to be better football games when you don't have the Lions, who at this point in the season – if they've got two wins, it's been a good year. But they're 0-10, and they played a stinker with the Bears. That just wasn't much fun to watch. Can we switch this up and get somebody else as that home slot for the early Thanksgiving game?
Oh, man, even not so much just the Lions. Like, obviously, they were very bad themselves. But Lions versus Chicago, man, that was just...
It was a terrible game.
I don't know what the NFL... And it's not like Chicago was supposed to be good.
The score was
they were
close,
gonna be bad,
but
also.
It was not a fun game to watch.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me either. I'd love to see a different game, but I don't think we ever will. I think the numbers will, for some reason, continue to support it. Everybody just has the game on at Thanksgiving, even though they don't care and they're not watching it. Yeah, it's not very good. I'd like to see some different games. I'd like, you know, Buffalo being in the night slot. I didn't even care that much. I was watching Mississippi State, Ole Miss. So,
yeah.
I think the NFL could do a lot to fix its Thanksgiving slots, you know. And I mean, even the, I know the Cowboys are always going to be on Thanksgiving, but like, maybe somebody other than the Raiders game, like get that one to be the Packers, or, you know, whoever they're playing in that season. I feel like they could get a lot better games to make Thanksgiving a lot more exciting.
It's pretty random from what I understand on how they do it. Because you can't really, like, just switch around the entire schedule to get a marquee matchup on Thanksgiving Day.
Right, I know. And I'm probably talking about things I don't know near enough about. It just, that's my uneducated quick take on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was a good game, though. It was entertaining. Obviously, the Cowboys have a lot of injuries and a lot of things they've got to get figured out. Look, Dallas is, they're still going to win the division, I think, even though the Eagles are playing decent football right now. I still think the Cowboys have the upper edge just based on the amount of talent they have on that roster, but I mean, they've got to figure some things out and get healthy quickly right now. But that was a good Thanksgiving game. I'll take that one. The Bills and Saints, another stinker. I didn't expect that at all, but when the Saints are down like 9 quarterbacks, it's sort of tough to beat a team like the Bills, who were, you know, destined for a win. They had been playing not very well in the past few games. But to the Kansas City Chiefs, where there's a bye week, it was nice to see all the players post their family pics on social media. You know, they're enjoying Thanksgiving with their families. But I don't think I've seen a turnaround ever that we've seen with the Chiefs. I mean, yes, we have, but defensively, how bad they were and how they couldn't stop the run compared to where they are now. I feel like if your team's around the league, you're looking at the Chiefs like, oh, wow, they can beat us in a different way. Whereas in the last 2 years they went to the Super Bowl, they had to score 30 points to beat us. Now they're beating a Dallas team like who has a pretty good offense for the most part by scoring 19. Like it's just a new way for the Chiefs to go out and win games. I think that's the fear. If you're the rest of the AFC, you're like, wow, they figured out other ways to win games. This is different than what we've seen.
Right. And that's kind of what it's funny because, you know, Mahomes can, he'll make a pass or, you know, Travis Kelce with his, he got his swagger back, that thing that he did after. And, you know, obviously it's way more fun to talk about how the offense has figured it out and how they're clicking. But to me, that's what's way more impressive with the Chiefs is how they've become suddenly a very good defense that can honestly beat or can honestly limit any offense in the NFL, as was shown with what they did to the Cowboys. I mean, they made Dak Prescott look like, I mean, Dak Prescott's still a realistic candidate in the MVP race, as
no,
crazy
he's
as
not.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a one or a two. I mean, if you're listing five or six guys, he certainly was at that point, and they kept him out of the end zone all day. I mean, that was really impressive. Chiefs. And so as you look at their schedule, you look at the offenses they have to face, you have to feel good about the Chiefs. I mean, I don't want to say it and end up with egg on my face in late December, but they have a really realistic chance to run the table here and finish the season. You know, what would that be? That would be 13-4. So that would be
That's
really
weird
special,
to
I
say,
think.
Isn't it? 13.
Yeah, that, it used to be easy. You used to be able to rattle off whatever 16 right. was. Now you got to think about how many games there are.
Now we got to take our math skills in and figure out what one more game is on.
And just in the grand scheme of things, I mean, I think you have to say that they're the favorites to come out of the AFC right now. I mean, everyone else talk about the Titans. I just don't see it. I think that the Henry injury will come back to bite them really big at some point late in the year in the playoffs. I love what Mac Jones is doing in New England, but I just don't feel confident betting on a rookie quarterback in the playoffs. And so
I'll bet on the coach, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you got, for example, Patriots Chiefs, I think it'd be a very good game. I just don't know if I can take a rookie over a lot of the players in the AFC right now. So, you know, gun to my head, the Chiefs will probably win the AFC at this point in the season, is what I would say.
Yeah, I kind of like Mac Jones, though. I think he's going to be a solid quarterback, and I think with Belichick as his coach, they can win some games. Like, Mac Jones doesn't seem to me like the kind of guy that's going to go lose you a bunch of games. I don't think it's possible to be the quarterback in a Bill Belichick-coached team to, you know, he's not going to put you in a spot to where you're going to have to go out and throw the ball 40 times a game and try to make plays if you don't have to. It's not Tom Brady. Like, it's a completely different era in New England. And who better than Belichick, if you're Mac Jones, to come into the NFL? And, you know, they struggled a little bit early on, but they found success. I'm not saying they're a great team. I really don't think there's a great team in the AFC. I don't see one team that really just jumps off the page as being the clear-cut favorite. But I think in the playoffs, New England can be a little dirty just because of Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the playoffs last year. If you bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs, you're going to look stupid at the end of the day. Well, you can kind of say a lot of the same things about betting against Bill Belichick. Once he gets in that playoffs, all bets are off. Who knows what he can do?
Have you been watching the Tom Brady series on ESPN, Man in the Arena?
I haven't. I just crazy week when it released and just haven't gone around to it. I'll probably do, someone mentioned it the other day, kind of like the binge thing. So I might kind of let few episodes come out and then go at it. But it sounds interesting for sure.
We've watched the first two, and it's similar to like the Jordan documentary. What was that called? The Last Dance?
Last Dance. That
was really good and really well done. This one's similar to that. There's just really not a whole lot of behind the scenes footage. It's more like focused on what Brady was thinking throughout some of these bigger moments in his career, because they dissect it all. You know, the whole Drew Bledsoe situation in New England and with what happened there when Brady became the starter and basically, you know, took the starting job of Drew Bledsoe, a guy who they gave over $100 million the year before. And, you know, back then that was obviously the highest paid quarterback in the league. And Brady, of course, just takes over after Bledsoe gets hurt. That whole thing was interesting because, like, they interviewed Drew Bledsoe and he's like, yeah, of course, I wanted to win football games, but I wanted to be the guy to do it, and I couldn't because they weren't letting me. So he was frustrated, and he basically said, like, if Brady wasn't such a nice guy, I would have hated him. I would have MF'd him, all this, blah, blah, blah. But they were just so nice to each other. I think stories like that in sports are kind of great, because I think people have, like, a painted image of Tom Brady as one thing, like the guy who won't retire or the guy who was in Deflategate, whatever, and the guy who wins championships, but nobody really sees him as like the person that he is. He's actually a really nice guy.
Well, yeah, and that's what I always laugh when people, oh, I hate Tom Brady, he's this and he's that. No, you hate him because he's really, really good at football, right? And he probably has beaten your team in a big game once or twice. I'm a big Tom Brady fan, and you know, it came at the Chiefs' expense, unfortunately, last year, but it was kind of cool to see what he did and, you know, go to a new place in a COVID year and win a championship. That was pretty cool, I think.
So what they're doing is they're breaking down each Super Bowl win, basically. And I cannot wait for the D-Ford offsides part of that. Because that's coming.
That will probably have Twitter buzzing a little bit.
Because that was on the way to number 6, I believe, from Brady. Yeah, yep. That was on the way to that. That is going to happen. I cannot wait for Tom to be like, I couldn't believe D-Ford jumped off sides, man. Because I threw a pick. He threw an interception to Tyrann Mathieu on that play, and the Chiefs would have gone to the Super Bowl, you know, 3 straight times. But hey, it's going to be 3 straight times this year. Maybe we'll see. But like you said about the Chiefs, I like the schedule. It sets up well. We're starting to see some division games down the stretch here, which is really make or break time in December. You got to take care of your division opponents, whether you're trying to wrap up the one seed or whether you're trying to just find your way into the playoffs, like a lot of teams are. Beating teams in your division is always a good way to do that. The Chiefs have the Broncos on Sunday night. That'll be December 5th, obviously, after the bye week. Another primetime game at Arrowhead Stadium. There's been like 7 of them this year, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, this one's actually like you see that it's Sunday Night Football. This one was – I assume this was flexed into it. It had to have been.
Chiefs game?
Yeah.
You're saying? Yeah, it was.
Okay,
yeah.
So they chose the Chiefs-Broncos late in the year, which to me, you know, is two things. Maybe, you know, they're thinking Denver might bring something interesting to Arrowhead, and two, maybe the Chiefs are you know, playing really good. But this one, you know, we're still 10 days away from this game, or like 7-8 days away from this game, and the Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites against the Broncos. So, I mean, that's next week. I mean, who knows what'll change, but... I just like to see that they flexed a Sunday night game in Chiefs Broncos. I mean, I've been to 5 or 6 Chiefs Broncos games in my life, and they're always absolutely crazy.
Yeah, and I just think prime time against. I mean, I don't know. Everybody kind of has their own opinion. I think this is their biggest in division rivalry, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people probably say the Raiders. I don't really care.
I think it's Denver, man. I've always thought it was Denver.
I do too, and you know, prime time game against your big rivals, they'll be coming off a game where they had to go out to the West Coast. It seems like a really good opportunity for the Chiefs to remind the entire NFL who they are. They're the Chiefs, that's the Broncos, and I will take Patrick Mahomes to boat race Teddy Bridgewater and probably not.
Yeah, but you know what? People that grew up in like the late 80s and early 90s as Chiefs fans, they don't like the Raiders. Like that was the hate team at that point,
right?
Because that's when the Raiders got good. And they ended up winning a Super Bowl when they were in Los Angeles, obviously. But I think it just depends on which Chiefs fan you ask. Now, obviously, if you're a real Chiefs fan, you hate both of them. You don't like the Broncos or the Raiders. For me personally, it's always been the Broncos, and I think it's because I've known more Broncos fans in my life.
Yeah, and I think the Broncos' success, obviously, 5 years, six, shoot, that was 6 years ago. Holy cow.
Yeah, the Broncos won it straight years, and the Chiefs have won it 5 straight years.
Right, so I think that has a lot to do with it. The Raiders, while you might hate them or just not like the franchise as a whole, they really haven't been much of a threat to the division. And so it's a lot easier to be bigger rivals with the Broncos, I think.
All right, so something to me on Sunday that's turned into an interesting game, I think the Buccaneers and Colts, I think if you're looking at the AFC, if Indy can beat the Bucs at home, I think Tampa's the better team here, but this one's the early one that I'm watching because the Colts have shown me some things that they might be a pretty good football team, and they're looking at the playoffs. So you never know. The Chiefs may run into these guys down the road.
Well, this will say a lot about the Colts, I think. Yeah. I think Tampa Bay, I know, is the Giants. I think the Giants stink, so I don't really put much stock into it, but I think the Buccaneers showed on Monday how powerful they can be. They are still really good. They all are still a Super Bowl contender. And like you mentioned, Indianapolis is doing a lot of good things right now. They're hot. Jonathan Taylor making a push right now. Running back's probably not going to win the MVP, but man, he's having a special, special season. And it'll be very interesting, I think, to see, you know, hey, Colts, are you legitimate? Can you legitimately beat these top teams, or are you just one of the very good average teams? So yeah. I think that'll say a lot.
I should have traded for Jonathan Taylor when I had the chance to do it, because I did. I just wasn't like, I don't know. It would have been a risky deal. But regardless, the Patriots play the Titans. Surprise, surprise here. This one shocks me. If you told me this line 3 weeks ago, I'd say you're crazy. New England's favored by a touchdown in this football game. They're at home. It's in Foxborough, but the Titans are 4-1 on the road this year. They've played decent on the road. They're only lost on the road this year at the Jets. I mean, yikes, that was when they were fully healthy. But I don't know. I think that New England, who surprisingly 2-4 at home this year, now granted some of their home losses are against some pretty good teams, I think they win this game. I think the Patriots are beating the Titans. I'll take New England. I don't think they cover, though. I'm going to go New England by 3.
Agree. I think the Patriots win the game. I think the market is really overreacting to the fact that Ryan Tannehill threw 4 interceptions last week.
Oh, yeah.
And the obviously the rushing game was not there. It's really interesting that Adrian Peterson led the Titans in rushing and then was cut a few days later. That's kind of interesting to me, but yeah, I think the Patriots won the game. It'll probably be close. I don't think it'll be a blowout like that, but I do think, I kind of mentioned it earlier with the Titans, I think that game showed, hey, you're going to have to do something really special to overcome losing one of the best players in the NFL in Derrick Henry, because take him off the field, if Tannehill has an average to bad game, you're sunk. You can't do a whole lot of anything.
Yeah, I wonder if Adrian Peterson just went to their staff and was like, guys, I can't do this. I thought I could play 2 games and be fine, but my body's killing me. I know you're not even really giving me the ball a lot, but I'm like 37 years old, and I can't do this anymore. I wonder if that happened. But in the afternoon, you've got 3 really, really interesting football games. I think that there's 2 that are separation Sundays. You're looking at L.A. at Denver, and then you're looking at Minnesota at the 49ers. I think the winners of both of those games are sort of going to, you know, separate themselves from the loser in a way other than the score. But in terms of the playoff standings, Minnesota's played well. They're going on the road against the San Francisco team, who had a nice win last week against the Rams on Monday Night Football. I think that there's 2 really interesting games here. And then, of course, the main one, the main event, is going to be Rams at Packers, and that one is the national spotlight there. But it's been a while since we've had 3 afternoon games that all are 3 are really interesting to me.
Yeah, definitely a few storylines there. And I know it's the easy, I mean, game of the week, obviously it's very easy to just point to it and side with that, but I don't know how you can't just have all eyes locked in on Rams and Packers. I mean, I think this says a lot about both teams. I think it says a lot about the Packers if they can finally get it going. It feels like they've been in slow motion recently, you know. And I think that that Vikings game was really alarming. But at the same time, I've never bought into the Rams really as legit contenders, and they really haven't ever since adding two phenomenal pieces. They've been, you know, bad. I mean, they just haven't won, and so it's really tough for me to buy into any team right now. So one of these teams needs to step up to the spotlight. They need to say, like, hey, we are a force to be reckoned with. We just did that to another contender in our conference. We're the top dogs in the NFC. I think this game, I mean, I think if one team really throttles the other, I think you have to kind of look at them and say they might be the team to beat in the NFC now.
And what the Rams did, I look at it this way. Like, obviously, adding Von Miller, that's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I legitimately think Von Miller is a Hall of Famer. He's a great player, but he's past his prime. There's no doubt about it. I mean, his best years are behind him. He knows that. He can still contribute a little bit. But then you add Odell Beckham Jr., who is an average receiver. I am sorry. I've never really understood why he's such a hot commodity to everybody. It hasn't worked out. I mean, ever since he's left the Giants, it hasn't really worked out. In Cleveland, there was some success there, but, you know, he starts talking bad about Baker Mayfield and the fans and how things aren't working out there. He gets out, and all of a sudden he's with the Rams now, and it's like, okay, what have you done? I'm sorry. I don't like Odell Beckham Jr. I am just not a fan of his.
Well, and a lot like his team, show me that you're still a legitimate top receiver, and then I'll believe it. But until then, I'm off that bandwagon.
Yeah, and Matt Stafford had a terrible week, you know, last week. I he's been good this year, but I just don't know if that guy's going to go win you a playoff game. There's no sample size there. There really isn't.
Exactly. He's never done it. There's nothing that makes me believe Matt Stafford can go into the playoffs and lead a team to a Super Bowl. And why is that? Because he's never done it in his career.
No, it's really hard to do. And then the Sunday night game is the Browns and Ravens. That one will be interesting. I think I like Baltimore in that one. I think Cleveland is sort of falling apart. I don't know, though. That's a division game. I think if the Ravens win that, obviously they're going to lock in that division sooner rather than later and get their playoff berth. But Riley Gates, it's been a great time, man, as always. Thanks for coming on with me tonight, and we've got some football to watch this weekend, and then slowly, as you know, football season tends to wind down, especially with college, we'll start getting into college basketball a lot more, because that's stuff that I know you and I both watch a lot of college basketball. And we'll definitely get into it. It's, you know, going to be an interesting year. Kansas lost to Dayton tonight. I was kind of surprised by that, seeing them get knocked off. Did I see that right? That wasn't a women's score, was it?
No. They hit a buzzer beater. So
did they really? See, I didn't even see it. I need to go back and watch. And everyone's listening, I'm like, you didn't watch that? No, I didn't, man. But I think KU is still a pretty solid team. They got beat. It happens on an off night. But real quickly, in terms of college basketball, anything from any storylines in the Big 12 that you've been seeing? I know Baylor obviously has another very good team. They've lost some players, but coming off a national championship year, it's hard to repeat business. And I did watch them beat Arizona State the other night. So yeah.
Well, Baylor looks like a buzzsaw again, which I think is really impressive. But obviously, and KU looks very good. I think the biggest story I'm following this year in the conference is Chris Beard at Texas. He has a massive influx of transfers this season. Marcus Carr was a kid at Minnesota who I think he averaged about 20 at Minnesota. And so we know Chris Beard can coach. We know he has some talent. Can he make Texas a winning program? That's very interesting to me. And I cannot wait for him to go back to Lubbock for that game this year, because I think that'll be one of the craziest games in college basketball.
You just don't see that a lot. I mean, you see coaches bounce from one school for a better job, but you just don't see it in your conference. I mean, that never happens.
It's like Bob Huggins said when he left K-State. When it's home, it's home. And it was home for Chris Beard.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you see it in the SEC in football. We've seen it before, right? Coaches have bounced from one job to another. And so it's not that uncommon, I guess. I'm just making a big deal of it. But all right, Riley, we'll let you go. And enjoy your weekend. And I hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family. And we'll talk to you next week, dude.
Great. Thanks, Spencer.